Hello and welcome to Outdoors in Scotland. My name's John Burns and this is my little podcast for people who like the outdoors in Scotland and pretty well anywhere else for that. It's great that so many people are getting onto the hills these days and really enjoying the fantastic mountain environment we have. But that success, if you like, also has consequences in terms of the kind of erosion and the damage that we inevitably, lots of people on a concentrated one area, inevitably do. So my guests today are Stuart Uni, who is the CEO of Mountaineering Scotland, and Ewan Watson, who is the Outdoor Access Projects Manager for the Outdoor Access Trust for Scotland. And I brought them along to talk about a really successful and important partnership between these two organisations, and in some ways between the outdoor community, which has been It's Up to Us, which is the project that began, I think, almost 3 years ago now, I think, to restore and to look after the paths on Anchellach, which is a lot of you will know is a really iconic mountain on the west. Hello, Stuart and Ewan. Nice to have you on the
No
program.
problem. Hi, John. Thanks
Great
for having us
stuff.
on.
You're very welcome. I thought I'd start with Ewan. Can you tell me how did this project start? What was the sort of inspiration for it really?
I think the inspiration was that, there'd been a need been identified that, a lot of places in Scotland's mountains were really starting to deteriorate and suffer quite badly, both from the increased footfall that you've kind of talked about and also from the effects of climate change. Some of the areas in Scotland obviously are in private control. These areas don't get any government funding whatsoever. And the footpaths in these areas were generally starting to degrade quite badly. So Oates and Mountaineering Scotland had sort of both identified this need and kind of come together and work together to sort of launch the It's Up to Us project, which was a kind of pioneering project, I suppose, where it was envisioned that rather than funding covering from government funding or things like that, this was all sourced by the outdoor community through sort of fundraising from hill walkers themselves, through outdoor retailers, outdoor leisure brands and sort of tourism, as well as some large grants from people like the Scottish Mountaineering Trust as well, and a couple of others to name.
Can I ask why was Anchellach chosen in particular?
Anchellach was chosen because it's a really iconic mountain in the northwest of Scotland. I think that sort of profile of it you can see from a distance, and getting up onto the ridge, it's really one of Scotland's most kind of special mountain landscapes, both in terms of the ecology and just getting up onto the ridge itself and the landscape. So, yeah, it was chosen because because of that, and also because it's in private hands. It's not got any sort of national trust or national park
Right,
interest.
right.
So that means that, yeah, it's not got any government funding that can be attached to footpath works and that sort of thing.
I see. So it's a really quite high priority for a project like that, really. Can I ask, Stuart, you're basically the head of mountaineering in Scotland, really, aren't you? I just wondered what you're the boss, really, aren't you? What was the role of Mountaineering Scotland? Because obviously, your role is very broad, really, isn't it?
Yeah, well, maybe just go back to the start of the idea for this, and Dougie Baird, who's my equivalent, my chief executive with the Outdoor Access Trust, came to us with an idea. And I remember sitting in at that point the office, the Oates office was just around the corner from us in Perth, and we sat. This was before COVID, and started noodling this idea of coming together. And wouldn't it be great if the organisation representing the interests of climbers and ski tourers and mountaineers, 16,000 members, came together with the charity that's been established to try and look after and maintain the paths. And so the path users coming together with the people who are looking after those paths made a lot of sense to us. And we thought it was a great idea. I mean, it kind of, we got put to one side, we got distracted by COVID and all the rest of it. And then it wasn't really until the Scottish Mountaineering Trust announced their Diamond Grant Award, and that really kind of focused our mind. And we said, let's get an application together. And we did, and we were lucky enough to be the winners of that award. £100,000, which
Aye,
really
aye.
kick-started the whole campaign and the whole project. So, thanks to the SMT, that without them and that award, we wouldn't be sitting here talking to you right now, and we wouldn't have probably restored this path on Anchelach. So that's really how it came about. And we've learned a lot, I think, from a mountaineering perspective about the work that Ewan and his colleagues do. I like a lot of people, I think I probably took paths a bit for granted. I just go out and walk up hills, and you walk along a path, and sometimes you notice some paths are better than others, as you know. But I think for myself and the team at Mountaineering Scotland, it's been a really interesting insight into the work that goes on, and Ewan will talk about that in a bit more detail, I'm sure. But
Yeah, sure.
the care and attention to detail, particularly on this project on Anchelach, which is a really special mountain, and I think the team have done an absolutely incredible job in what they've done. We had a little celebration event a few weeks ago in Burnham Arts Centre, and one of the comments from the people in the audience was, "It wasn't just a path; it was a work of art." And I totally get
That's
that. I
impressive,
totally
isn't it?
get that.
But it obviously you got your diamond grant, but a lot of the cash, a lot of the funding came from the sort of, I suppose, the mountaineer or the man on the man or woman on the hill. Is that true?
Yeah, absolutely. And I know Ewan will agree, but Doogie, from the Outdoor Access Trust perspective, I think feels quite strongly about that. And it's really important. This is not about paying for access. We have fantastic access legislation in Scotland that we're all able to take advantage of and go out and pretty much walk wherever we want to,
Yeah.
whenever we want to. And that is an amazing privilege to have. Well, not just a privilege, it's a right that we all enjoy, obviously, with responsibilities. But we felt, given the situation and given the critical need to start to intervene and try and firstly raise awareness that this is an issue, not just in Anchelach, but mountains all over Scotland,
Yeah.
there was a need for us to intervene. And the names in the title of the campaign, it's up to us. If we, the people who enjoy and use those paths, don't step in and try and do something positive to rectify the damage that's being caused, and who else is going to do it? And we can't rely on government funding at the moment, although that's what we would like to see, and I'll maybe speak
Sure.
about that in a little bit more detail. But firstly, it was about trying to engage the outdoor community, and as Ewan said, not just the people who use the paths, the people like us that walk up them, but also the businesses that benefit from our outdoor access
Sure.
legislation. And we were lucky enough to get some other big funding contributions, but a lot of money came from individual donations, from Mountaineering Scotland clubs, and from the commercial sector businesses and that are involved in the outdoors. And that, for me, has been one of the most rewarding parts of that people have stepped up and answered the call and put their hand in their pocket, which shows to me, even at a time when everyone's finances are stretched, we've got something here that was people thought was worthwhile. It was worth putting their hand in their pockets to throw a few quid at Anchelach and help look after it. And I think if we can do it here, the challenge is, where else can we do it? Where next?
Yeah, I think it's really important that it wasn't just a couple of it wasn't big organizations coming together. It was the grassroots, the people, the folk out on a Saturday and a Sunday on the hills who came together for this. Stuart, can you give us some idea of what was the kind of scale of the task? Because I mean, building repairing a path all the way a hill like Anchelic sounds to be quite a big job, really.
Oh, I think Ewan's best to answer this one, because he understands the technicalities. For all, like, from a layman's perspective, John, when I was up there, when we did the initial filming for the start of the campaign, some of the ruts and the channels, they were up to my waist, basically. They were
Really?
as deep as a walking pole, and beyond that, I'm not a particularly tall person, but they were pretty horrendous, and the work that they've done to try and restore that landscape is just it's just amazing, really. But Ewan's much better
Okay.
to talk about the technicalities than I am, John.
Okay, Ewan, tell us about how you approached the task and the sort of scale of it then.
Yeah, like Stuart says, it was in a pretty sorry state by the time that we arrived. So the first thing that we did was we engaged, some really skilled hand-built footpath contractors from a company called Cairngorm Wilderness Contracts. So they were engaged to carry out the work itself on the hill. And, once they got up on site and into the task, we kind of agreed on a plan going forward. And took a lot of work. There was a lot of stone that needed to be moved into place, all done by hand. If I just check my notes, I think we're about 350 tons worth of stone all moved into place by hand. There was also some flown in by helicopter, just where we needed some additional stone, in a place on the hill where there wasn't particularly any on that part of the site. Again, there was probably around 300 tons of sort of aggregate, kind of gravel type material dug up on site as well, all again laid by hand by the team on site. And yeah, they also did a lot of really good work to alleviate some of the deep ruts that were forming on site, which was formed basically due to the human footfall creating a trod, and then the water gets in behind that. And on the peaty kind of soils of the lower part of the hill, it was really washing out quite dramatically. And that's something that we're seeing happen a lot more often on the hills. Yeah, like we said, with the increased footfall and the changes we're getting in the climate, these periods of intense heavy rainfall seems to be happening more and more often, which means that the erosion on places like Anchelach is happening, a lot quicker than what we've seen in the past. So there really needs to be, a good targeted intervention there to get people onto one line away from the badly eroded sections and onto a robust footpath that'll allow access to be sustainable for years to come.
Give it, how long did it take to get to complete these works then? What sort of time scale are we talking about?
So the team were there over 3 years, not for full 3 years, but for months, kind of on and off, probably 3, 4 months at a time over the 3 years. So in total, it was probably about a kind of year's worth of work almost, but probably around 12 months of work over that three-year period.
And was this just, I mean, was it entirely people who were, if you like, on board staff? Paid members, or was there a volunteer contribution to this as well?
Yeah, so this one was, we had contractors on site, and we also had volunteers from Oates going out quite regularly as well. So they would do kind of twice a year, do a 2 or 3 day trip up onto the site with our volunteer coordinator, Eva. They would go up there, they would work alongside the contractors. So they were getting to learn a bit about path building, getting to do some stuff themselves. And they also went back on occasion and did some more of the heavy kind of landscaping type works themselves as well, where they helped to slow down the water that was running into those deep ruts that were forming, and do a lot of really good work there to help that landscape just start naturally regenerating.
All right, so it was a real sort of team effort in that way, where people who really cared about the landscape, really, it sounds like. That's what it sounds like to me, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Both the contractors are really skilled and really care about what they do, and also the volunteers that we get are all outdoor lovers themselves. They're all hill walkers, climbers, mountain bikers, and stuff like that, and they're all deeply connected to the landscape and want to give something positive back to it for all the times that they've kind of been out and enjoyed it themselves. And volunteering like that seemed to be a really positive way for them to do it, and I think everyone that went out really enjoyed it, and we had a lot of people coming back. We're usually having way more volunteers hoping to sign up than we could possibly handle on site, which I think is a really good thing. I think it's really positive that, the amount of people involved are showing that they're really keen to help out, either financially or kind of physically on site.
Yeah, that's great. A really key question. How much midge repellent did you get through? Quite a lot, I'm guessing.
Funnily, up there, the times we went up, we sort of went, usually we'd be there in kind of March, so we'd kind of beat them
All right.
earlier in the year. And then October, we would go back. Yeah, you're kind of risking it a bit then, but we found that the weather was either so nice that they weren't out, or it was so miserable that the midgey couldn't be out. So,
Okay, so you escaped the worst of them,
yeah, generally we did not too bad, but yeah.
Okay. This was charitable funding, this was voluntary donations, and maybe Stuart could say something. I mean, obviously the Mountaineering Scotland is a very important campaigning body for the outdoor community, and Stuart, do you see a role going forward for government in this?
Most definitely. And I think what I hope we've achieved through the campaign, as well as actually, building the path, that was the kind of physical project, and it's been brilliant to have achieved that. But the other part of the campaign was to just raise a public awareness about the need to invest in these paths, and that there is no money. There is no public money, and due to Brexit, unfortunately, we can't access the European money that was there historically to do this type of work. But we've been working as part of the Scottish Outdoor Recreation Alliance, which Mountaineering Scotland are a member of. And that's a group of recreational organisations that sit on the National Access Forum and comes together and talks about issues of particular interest to the recreational users of the outdoors. And they traditionally develop a manifesto in advance of the Holyrood elections, and we did that again this year. And have to pay credit to Gavin Corbett from Rambler Scotland, who led the charge and developed what I think was a very strong manifesto proposition. And that was circulated to all the parties. And the number one request in that manifesto was the number one thing that we were trying to do with the campaign. And that was argue for the establishment of a Scottish Paths Fund and a more sustainable funding solution going forward. Because whilst it's fantastic that the community has stepped in, and I think it shows that people care, I think there's also a very strong business case that the government should invest in our access infrastructure and invest in paths, both from an economic perspective, but also from a health perspective as well, from a health and well-being perspective. Duncan Bryden from Oates, the chair of Oates, he's got some fantastic stats about the one that struck me was 100 to £150 million a year coming into the Scottish economy as a result of hill walking, and the high number of visitors to the UK and to Scotland specifically that come to Scotland to enjoy our landscape, and about 40% of those visitors will at some point go for a walk in the outdoors. That's bringing in a huge amount of money to Scotland and to rural communities, and we need to preserve what's good. People come to see the landscape that the beauty and the majesty of Scotland that we all love and enjoy, and we need to preserve that and ensure that people come, but it's sustainable, because there's no doubt the hills are under more pressure than they've ever been under, and that's a great thing. We've got lots more people out in the hills, a lot more diversity in the hills, a lot more women and young women out in the hills, a lot more people from cultural and ethnically diverse backgrounds, and that is to be celebrated. But it all puts the infrastructure under a lot of pressure. So I think our call to government is, let's have a fund here that we can tap into and do more of this type of work. And I'm really pleased to say that both the SNP and the Green Party, within their party manifesto, committed to work with SORA on establishing a Scottish Path Fund. So we're currently in discussions about how we take that forward with the SNP administration. We know times are tight, public money is being squeezed, but we think there's a very strong case for investing, because the return on investment is huge in terms of the economy and our nation's health.
Yeah, I think that's a really important point. That actually, we think of our hills as kind of wild places that we just wander about as we want. But hill walking in general obviously has a as you've said, has a massive financial impact on the economy of Scotland, both in tourism and also on our health. Because I mean, health costs, doesn't it? And if people are, if you can keep people out of hospitals, you can keep people healthy. That's a really important thing. I mean, Bothies, for example, one of my particular interests is in Bothies, and certainly the things that you were talking about, the greater diversity of people, at times the greatest number of people, it provides kind of like opportunities and challenges for these places. What would you like to see as the kind of legacy of the project of what you run, not just in the physical path, but in our care of our mountain environment going forward?
Yeah, I think we just need to be much more aware of our impact. And as Ewan said, it's not just the wear and tear from users, it's also the changing climate. The seasons are changing, the weather is changing, the intensity of rainfall when it comes can be huge. We can get wetter, warmer winters than we've had the last th this winter. We've actually had a winter, which is to be celebrated, but we can't rely on that happening every year. And but definitely more extreme weather, I think. That we're all experiencing, and we're on the front line. When it comes to climate change, the climate and mountaineering community are on the front line. We're out there in it, experiencing it. So I think for me, the campaign will continue. This is not just a 3-year project. This was a 3-year project to deliver this path, But this is a longer term campaign, which is about trying to establish that sustainable path fund. And you know, that's the end game here, that we've got some money that Oates and others can draw down on to do more projects like this where they're needed. So I think for me, we need to continue to raise the awareness about the importance. There's a lot of people out there in the hills that are enjoying themselves, and that's fantastic, benefiting from this. But I think it's just not taking paths for granted. Somebody has to build them, and somebody has to look after them, and that costs money. It's not all done by volunteers, and I think that's maybe there's an assumption out there that it is, and it's not. It's very professional, skilled work to do the type of work that we've done on Angelic and happens elsewhere. So for me, it's just, I think the campaign will maybe end. I don't know when we've got a fund there, and everybody in the community is recognizing the importance of paths and of investing in paths, because we all benefit from them at the end of the day.
Yeah, I think it sounds to me as though Mountaineering Scotland has sort of embodied the concept, really, I suppose, that if you care about, if you enjoy our hills and you begin to care about them, then you're almost inevitably drawn into the sort of the political arena of funding for them, and you know what they get, what gets paid to happen. And it's how can I put it? It feels like a long way from going for a walk in the mountains, but actually, if we care for our mountains going forward, it's very important that we do engage with the wider community and the political community. Is that fair, you think?
Oh, definitely. I mean, it's a public benefit. It is difficult because things have changed. We're now in 2026. Things since 1976, 1986, and 90, we're in a different place, a different world. You know, as I say, the climate's changing, society's changing, but the one constant is we all love the hills, and we all still get a fantastic amount of benefit from being out in the hills. That's never going to change. But we have to try and work out how we're going to manage that sustainably, ensure people can continue to enjoy the fantastic access rights that we have. Doogie will say, and you know, back me up on this, you know, and I would admit this as well, you know, that as a community, we're sometimes very happy to throw down 400 quid on a new Gore-Tex jacket. We're quite happy to fill our car up 60, 70, 80, 90 quid to go out in the hills and drive back again. We're maybe happy to stop off at a cafe on the way there and have or on the way back and have a meal. Or so why not put a couple of quid to the mountain as well at the same time? I suppose that's the good question we're asking. That's a question we've been asking with the campaign. Are you prepared to, put your hand in a pocket? It doesn't matter how much, it could be a tiny amount, but if we had everybody that was going out in the hill every weekend put in couple of quid a year, or 5 a year, or pound a month, whatever you're willing to, we would start to have a pretty decent sum of money to start doing more of this kind of work, which I think everyone would like to see.
That's right. I'm sure that's right. And Ewan, could I come back to you for a minute? What have been the major sort of things that you feel you've learned for looking back over this project?
I think on this one, you know, we've learned a lot. You know, we've working closely with another organization like this. You know, it's been, you know, a bit of a learning curve. There's been lots to do. There's been a lot more engagement, I think, with the public than what Oates have perhaps previously done on our own projects, where they've been kind of rather large lottery funded type projects where there hasn't need to be an engaged and a need to engage so much with the kind of hill going public. Whereas on this, we've always had to do a lot more to get information out there to sort of encourage those donations and stuff like that, which I think has actually been a really good thing as well, because we've sort of learned that actually quite a lot of people don't really know about these issues that are going on. A lot of people don't realise that there's no funding at all available for places like Anchellach and, you know, lots and lots of other mountains like it. So yeah, getting that information out there, and kind of like Stuart says, you know, getting information out there about just how much actually goes into building a footpath, I think it's been really important. And yeah, we've had a lot of people coming back to and talked about the project and, you know, been up to the site and stuff saying, you know, wow, you know, I had no idea how much went into this, you know, how hard a job this really is and how incredible the results can be when it's done correctly. So yeah, those kind of things about, yeah, just getting more information out there to the whole going public, I think it's been really important to learn for us. And I think that's something that we need to keep going. Yeah, keep getting more information out there. And I think the more people we get on the hills, it's great. And, you know, yes, there's an impact, but the more people we get on the hills is also, I think, more, there's more custodians for the hills as well. The more people you get out there, the more voices you have who are going to speak up to try and protect them. So.
Well, yeah, I think it's, I mean, people don't campaign, they don't put their hands in their pockets for things they don't value. And you don't value the hills unless you get out into them. And that's an important thing.
The only thing I would maybe just say is, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on in the world that's pretty weird and not very positive. And, you know, I spoke about this. It's been great to work with Outdoor Access Trust and with Ewan and his colleagues, and for us to come together in this way and have the support of the community that we've had to deliver this project. And it just, for me, shows that despite what's going on in the world, when people come round a common cause and they work together, you can still achieve really positive things. And that for me has been a tremendous thing to have happened over the last 3 years.
Yeah, I think that's great. I mean, it sounds to me to have been an incredibly positive project. It sounds to me I've been a project that's really, really brought the outdoor community together to support the things that they think are really valuable. Sounds to me as though not only has it made a difference to the if you like, the paths on Anchelach, but it's brought together a community that will hopefully be able to preserve our mountain environment going forward. It's been fascinating listening to you, and I really congratulate both organisations really on an incredible achievement, really, that the pair of you came up with sitting in an office somewhere in, you know, that's an amazing thing. Great thing to have done, and I think it'd be a lasting thing going forward. So thanks very much for your time, and I wish your projects every success for the future. So thanks very much, guys.
Thanks, John.
Cheers, John. Thanks for having us on.
And that was Stuart Uni, the CEO of Mountaineering Scotland, and Ewan Watson of the Outdoor Access Trust for Scotland, talking about the contribution that the outdoor community has made to preserving our landscape. I just thought I'd tell you that some of you will have read my book, Bothy Tales. Surprisingly enough, it is a live show these days. There's a lot of laughs and a bit of serious too. I'm performing the show on the 19th of June. That's 2026 for those of you who might be listening to this recorded. That's at the Glackbeg Croft Centre. And then the following day, I'll be down at King Craig Community Hall. I hope you can get along to those. There are links on Eventbrite to book your tickets. I'm also performing the same show down at the South of Scotland Outdoor Festival. That's on the 3rd of July, and you can book through their website for that event. So I'll actually be performing there in an inflatable cinema. So that's a first, isn't it? I fortunately won't be wearing crampons. Okay, I hope to see you at any of these shows. Thanks very much for listening. I've been John Burns. Hope to see you again. Bye bye.